Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
I want you to do something prophetic today. Now all over the place, everybody's shouting scarcity. Everybody's shouting poverty. Everybody's shouting insufficiency. But I want you to do your hands like this and say, overflow. Overflow. In my life, in my family, in my business, in my home, in my investments, on my job. Overflow, overflow, overflow. If you can speak in tongues, I want you to do that prophetic thing and speak in tongues. Just speak overflow. I don't know what this is all about, but I know God is up to something. Jatamende rosi ketelia rebiko semento peliko semento rebedeko soto brose devina nana koria te belekre silevento mashko prende fiselito rebidemo soto mikonteliatra zazalomente bilimo sulemeka azale monteberiato rebina ko soti melepre enemeko soto boroko sude overflow, overflow, overflow. Jetete zesesesati neni Rabbi Nemeco Santevilla, Robin de Cosande Greve de Cosi, Rabbi de Cosoto Roya Casa, Shatata Tata, Nicaro Samilapo, Rambico Sutebe de Coya, Shelemendo Broco Soto Boboria, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Elijah said to them, when there was no rain for 3.5 years, Elijah said to them, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I prophesy over you, may the sounds of overflow visit your family. May the sounds of overflow visit your finances. In the midst of scarcity, I command on your behalf overflow. Over your household, overflow. Over your business, overflow. Over your job, overflow. I prophesy that whilst others are saying there's dryness, the rain will fall over your life. I say the rain of abundance will fall over your family. The rain of abundance will fall over your business. When others are saying there's a casting down, you will testify of a lifting up. I said you will testify of a lifting up. Shout a living amen if you believe that. If your amen is louder, receive your portion. I said if your amen is louder, receive a double portion. Give God praise in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Locate 5 people for me and give them a high five and just speak to them, overflow. Overflow. Make it up to 10 people. Prophesy to them, overflow. Overflow, overflow. Overflow, overflow, overflow. Anamorako shende barako sade barakataya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I want you to sit down like the king that you are. Welcome to this time of worship, and I want to thank you for making it in spite of the cost of transportation, in spite of the cost of fuel. Thank you for still making it. Let me look at your neighbor and say, Pastor, I should just thank you. Say, on behalf of Pastor, I thank you. No, you're not thanking your neighbor. Say, Pastor, say, I should specially thank you. That in spite of the cost of fuel, you are still in church today. Say, in short, I feel like giving you a hug. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And I really meant that, even though we laughed about it, I meant it with all my heart. I meant it with all my heart. I'm told that most of the universities have refused to resume because the vice chancellors can't put fuel in their car. So what will happen to the teachers? I'm serious. I was talking to a vice chancellor in the course of the week. He said, my younger brother is a registrar of the university. He has packed his car. He's trekking. In the midst of this situation, God will provide abundance for you. Once again, I prophesy overflow around your life. Come on, I said overflow around your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. All right, very quickly, to all of you worshiping online, I want to say thank you. We love you, and we know that it takes a lot of sacrifice, your data, your time, and even the access. I want to say thank you. We appreciate you, and God will come true to you right where you are in Jesus' name. Now, how many of you know that we're already counting? We're already doing, what do they call that again now? Countdown for SOA Conference 2024. How many of you know that? We're already doing countdown. And guess what? All our guest speakers are all, they are all sharpening their knives for SOA Conference. Apostle Joshua Selman is ready. He's ready. Pastor Jerry Eze is ready. Pastor George Izuma is ready. And it's going to be different this time around. There's going to be a new glory like you've never seen before. Like you've never seen before. Say a loud amen, somebody. Amen. And the theme of our conference this year is one word, restore. Amen. Restore. Restores. It's going to be a conference like we've never had before. And I want you to please adjust your itinerary to fit in. It's going to be coming on the first week of November. Amen. Amen. All right. Very quickly, ladies and gentlemen. In the course of this service, we had the privilege of being blessed, ministered alongside with City of David. It's my brother-in-law. My wife has been talking to me about him for many years. And this morning, we had the privilege of him ministering alongside with City of David, all the way from Abba, Apostle Ekeoma, Kingslake. I want you to help me appreciate the ministry of Kingslake. Thank you. Thank you for being a blessing. Amen. Are you ready this morning? Please talk to me. Are you ready this morning? All right. We have a pastoral ordination taking place in the course of the service. That's why you'll notice all of us address like Sir Hendrins. Am I correct? We're dressed like Sir Hendrins because we are doing a pastoral ordination and we needed to be officially dressed for it. Amen. Don't worry, just a small part of the service. 5 minutes, we are done. Amen. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this morning I have a word from the Lord. As you rise on your feet, Luke chapter 12 from verse 21. As you rise on your feet, give me this time around TPT, the Passion Translation. As you rise on your feet, TPT, the Passion Translation. Let me open my own. Luke chapter 12 from verse 21. Please give me a second. Sorry, verse 22. Verse 22. Now, so let's read together now. Everybody, two, go. Listen to me. Never let anxiety enter your hearts. Never worry about any of your needs, such as food or clothing. Your life is okay, for your life is infinitely more than just the food you eat and the clothing you wear. Take the carefree birds as your example. Do you see them worry? They neither grow their own food nor put in a storehouse for later. Yet God takes care of every one of them, feeding each of them out of the abundance of his love and goodness. Isn't your life more precious to God than a bird? Be carefree in the care of God. Next verse. Does worry add anything to your life? Can it add one more year or even one more day to your life? So, if worrying adds nothing but actually subtracts from your life, why would you worry about God's care for you? Think about the lilies. They grow and become beautiful, not because they work hard or strive to clothe themselves, yet not even Solomon, wearing his kingly garments of splendor, could be compared to a field of lilies. If God can clothe the fields and meadows with grass and flowers, can he not clothe you as well? Oh, struggling one with so many doubts, I repeat, don't let worry enter your life. Live above the anxious cares about your personal needs. People everywhere seem to worry about making a living, but your heavenly Father knows your every need and will take care of you as you passionately seek his kingdom. Where are you? All right, so let's do verse 32. So don't be ever afraid, dearest friends. Your loving Father joyously gives you his kingdom with all his promises. Shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
Shout a better amen, somebody.
Amen.
Anamakoshada. Will you help me just look at one person and say to them, worry and anxiety will add nothing to you, but will subtract from you. Therefore, this morning, now I want you to say it like a prophet. Say, therefore, this morning, in the name of Jesus, look at the person in the eye. I rebuke every worry. I rebuke anxiety. I rebuke fears out of your hearts, out of your life, in the name of Jesus. Shout a believing
amen.
Bless your word, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Say better
amen.
Please sit down like the king that you are. My time is far gone. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I'm speaking on trusting God in troubled times, even though my emphasis on this assignment is overcoming worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety. Some time ago, I became so sick and I didn't know what was wrong with me. Test results were not showing anything. And I decided that let me just talk to a therapist and find out what's going on. By the time they ran a lot of kinds of check on me, he asked me only one question. He said, nothing is wrong with you. He said, you only have one problem. He said, your stress level is too high because of too much worry and anxiety. And the moment I went before God, I repented and I said, Lord, I'm sorry that I decided to look at my situation and not at your promises. And I repented before God and I returned back to the place of covenant. I discovered that the symptoms disappeared, every pain disappeared, and I didn't have to take one paracetamol for that. I discovered that I was causing a lot of damage to myself simply because I wanted to do what God has said he will do when he said, casting all your cares upon him for a carrot. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Somebody say after me, he cares.
He cares.
I can't hear you say he cares.
He cares.
All through scripture, I discover worry and anxiety comes with a lot of problems. So I'm beginning with the subtopic, the problem with worry and anxiety. I discover, number one, that worry will make you doubt God's promise, force God's timing, and end up with complications in your life. God had spoken to Abraham when he met him from the hall of the Chaldeans. He said, Abraham, just leave everything, your father's house, and follow me. Number one, I will bless you. Number two, I'll make you great. But after I've made you great, he said, I'm going to give you children that through your family, through the children I give you, the whole earth will be blessed. Sounded like a wonderful promise, and initially Abraham believed God alongside with his wife. But as days became weeks, weeks became months, months became years, Abraham finally came to the conclusion that God's wristwatch had stopped working, or God had forgotten that he wasn't getting younger. So he and his wife agreed together to help God's timing, to shorten God's timing, to force God's timing. And slept with his house help called Hagar. And they gave birth to one child called Ishmael. Ladies and gentlemen, from the day that child was born, and the prophecy came that that child will be wild, and that the enemy will be against him, he will be against the enemy, he's going to be a wild man in the forest. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole of humanity has not rested from the day that child was born. Israel has been at war since the day that child was born. And as we speak right now in Gaza, Israel is still fighting because of one child that was born. It was an attempt of one man to shorten time, to help God's prophecy. And just that one mistake, Abraham paid dearly for it. Are you aware that there are some dumb decisions you make? I give you an example. Time is not on your side, like Abraham. There's a whole lot of Bible you know. You know enough Bible to know that this particular gentleman can't fit into your space as a husband. But you know what? Time is going. The prophecy doesn't seem to be working. And you decide to help God and say, you know what? Heaven help those who help them. After all, God, doesn't God know that age is not on my side? And you put your head in that marriage. Momentarily, you will have fun. But for a longer period of time, you will suffer because of that one mistake. And I've seen people who died in that one mistake. Abraham and the whole of humanity is still paying because of that one mistake of trying to help God shorten time and help the prophecy. I don't know who is here who has made a stupid mistake because of worry and anxiety. I don't know what it was. At some point, Abraham had to call God. Is it that Eleazar of Damascus, my servant, will be the one to inherit my... God said, no, I was clear when I said, a seed from you. At another time, he went back to God. God said, look at the count. If you can count the stars in the heaven or the sun in the seashore, I have told you, just believe me. But in trying to help God, Abraham paid dearly. And his children after him are still paying for it. I pray for somebody who has made a stupid mistake as a result of worry, trusting God because of timing. You have made some choices that are haunting you right now. May the mercy of God prevail over judgment in the name of Jesus. I pray that God, who is the God of second chance, will reverse that situation and give you a second chance in the name of Jesus. I pray that whatever poor choices you made that is haunting you right now, God will come true for you in the name of Jesus. Let me hear a better amen. The second one has to do with Hagar, which is the fact that worry will lead you to regret. Guess what? Sarah, Abraham's wife, was the one that actually suggested to her husband. One day she woke up and said, Abraham, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Abraham said, what are you thinking? He said, look at your age, oh. You are getting older. Me, I got to menopause. I've entered menopause stop. And nobody's getting younger. This thing that God said, it's not like I don't believe God, though, but I'm actually thinking that, you know, because God lives in eternity, he forgets that we live in time. So let's help the prophecy. You're going to have sleep with my maid. And Abraham said, it's not like I have not thought about it before. It's just that if I suggest it now, you'll see I'm behind the girl. So I decided to wait for you to be the one to suggest it to me. You know, but actually it has occurred to me several times. And do you know from the moment that little girl got pregnant, everything changed. Sarah regretted her decision. Why? Because suddenly she realized that this girl she brought from village, took to Ekulu Primary School, registered in GTC, carried with her own hand and wrote jam. Now she got pregnant and she suddenly started despising madam. She could not talk to her rudely, refused to obey instruction, and pain came to her. Until one night she got up and said, no, I can't take it any longer. I know I caused myself this pain, but I have to get rid of the pain. And she told the husband, this girl must leave my house tonight. The husband said, no, he's carrying my child. And God said to Abraham, listen to your wife. Allow the girl to go. But listen, for the rest of her life, she regretted it. Especially when the real child, Isaac, now came. And she realized that the other one was not even necessary in the first place. Are you aware that Sarah never enjoyed that child called Ishmael? Because from the moment he was given a bottle of water, the mother was given a bottle of water and bread and sent into the wilderness, they did not return back again. So it was a child she gave birth to. Number one, she never enjoyed the child. But number two, that child rose up tomorrow. That child never forgot the memory that he was sent into the wilderness by Sarah with a bottle of water and this thing. And from that day, Ishmael vowed that as long as he's alive, he will torment Israel. That torment is still going on in Gaza. That's why last year, September, they invaded a concert camp at the borders of Gaza and carried 1,000, I've forgotten the number of Israelites. They killed over 1,000 and took the other one, kidnapped them. And there are some of them, and Israel has not recovered from that attack because Ishmael has never forgotten how he was sent into the wilderness with a bottle of water and a loaf of bread. And he has vowed he will deal with Israel as long as he's alive. One mistake, generations of pain. I don't know the mistake your father made or somebody else made that you are paying for. But we stand in this prophetic service and declare, let every mistake that has brought judgment on the family be reversed in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, let every judgment upon the family, every curse that has come upon the family by the blood, let it be canceled in the name of Jesus. Let it be reversed in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Say a better amen if you don't mind.
Amen.
Gentlemen, are you aware that one mistake, worry and anxiety, can hinder somebody from moving forward and experiencing God's grace. I have no time to go through the story, but you all recall that after stealing his birthright, when Jacob escaped to Mr. Laban's house, he was afraid of only one thing. Any day my brother see me, will kill me. Any day my brother see me, will kill me. And that was one fear that kept haunting him. The torment of that fear stayed with him for over 22 years after he stole the birthright of his elder brother. But this is the interesting thing. If you go to Genesis 32, after that he heard that Esau was coming on the other side and he too was coming from this side. He divided his family into two. You know the story. Cut a long story short, he finally came face to face. And the reason he divided the family into two was that in case Esau will slaughter this company, at least I still have one more company left. By the time the elder brother came and said, why are you doing this? What is all this gift for? No, this thing you are afraid of, you are worried about, it's a long time I forgot about it. I can't even remember you stole my birthright. I mean, this is 20-something years ago. Come on. I can't hold anger against you forever. Are you aware, gentlemen? All those years of worry, fear, and sleepless night were not even necessary. Because when he finally met his brother, he discovered that the guy was not even thinking about what happened 22 years ago. I don't know who you are. You have lived under guilt and condemnation over something that does not even exist. You have lived in fear over a situation that the other person has forgotten about. Listen to this. One thing is for God to forgive you. Another thing is for you to accept forgiveness for yourself. Is anybody hearing me? Whilst it is true that God has forgiven a lot of people, there are a lot of people who are dying and it's physically affecting them, mentally tormenting them because they themselves haven't forgiven themselves. And listen to this. When you've gone before God and you have repented and you've gone before the individual, you have apologized. Listen to this. It is the choice of that individual whether to forgive you or not. And whether they forgive you or not, please forgive yourself and move on. Is anybody hearing me? I'm repeating this again. You did something stupid. You've asked God to forgive you. You also had enough humility to meet the person and said, I was the one. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Whether that person accepts to forgive you or not, sir, ma, forgive yourself and move on. Did you hear what I said? Don't put yourself on a further guilt trip because of what happened. There's nothing you can do about what happened. It don't happen. Is anybody hearing me? It don't happen. It don't happen. And you have done the noble thing, which is to repent and admit guilt. After then, move on with your life. If they catch up with you later on and say they forgive you, fine. If they don't, nothing spoil. You know what? It will not change anything in your life because you have done the noble thing, which is to accept guilt and ask for forgiveness. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
I'm not hearing your amen.
Amen.
So I pray on for everyone who is dealing with guilt, guilt that is torturing your life, tormenting you, even after your repentance. This morning, I declare over your life, may the power of condemnation be broken in the name of Jesus. I said, let the power of condemnation be broken in the name of Jesus. Can you say a better amen if you don't mind?
Amen.
Forgive yourself and move on with your life. Amen?
Amen.
Say a better amen.
Amen.
Mm. Are you aware, ladies and gentlemen, that anxiety and guilt can also make you, can give you limitations in your life and make you doubt your opportunities, okay, to trust in God's strength? Pastor, what do you mean by this? You know, it's interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that here was a gentleman called Moses. All his life, growing up in the house of Pharaoh, the only thing he dreamt about is to be a deliverer for the people of God. He was raised by his own mother, who codedly came as a house help to Pharaoh's daughter to raise him up. So he had good history as to where his lineage was. Hebrews told us he was not willing to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a moment, but to suffer with God's people. So he had understanding. There's only one thing he desired: save the people of God, deliver Israel from the Egyptian. You saw how he started. He started, he thought he was killing one person. Did I say one people? One person. One person, not one people. Go to good school in Jesus' name. One person, not one people. All right, so guess what? This guy started killing one person. One person. All right. Whether one people or one person, anyone that is correct, collect it. So guess what? You know the story? He met this other guy who said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us?" He took off. Now, same guy, 40 years down the line, he has been looking after Mr. What's his name again? Jethro's animals in the wilderness. 40 good years, and then God shows up and say, Moses, the guy who always wanted to destroy Egypt and save Israel, I've come to answer your prayer. Return back to Pharaoh, tell him, let my people go. You know the thing the guy said? I can't talk. God said, wait. You already killed people because of this thing. Without my anointing, without me calling you, on your own accord, you have already started this ministry before. Because we now say, let's close the church down so we can train you for 40 years with sheep and goats so that you can be more equipped for the ministry. You have finished the training now. Graduation has come. You don't collect your certificate. I say, come and go back and do the same thing that you wanted to do all along. You say, you cannot talk. What is the problem? Do you know that he and God literally entered the quarrel? God said, no, I'm the one that made your mouth. You can talk. He said, listen, God, you should hear me out. Let me get my body. I cannot talk. Are you aware? Now, this is not a joke, sir. This is not a joke. Are you aware that concerning this Moses that we are talking about, there's a report that was given in the Word of God, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verse 22. You know what it says? And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And everybody read the last thing with me. 1, 2, go. Mighty in what? Mighty in what? Mighty in what? What did he say to God? I can't talk. See, can I be honest with you? And please listen attentively to me. One of the reasons why many people never fulfill their destiny is that every time God said do it, they look at what others have done. They say, I cannot. The fear of standing before that microphone or before that camera or before that people or before that crowd has crippled a lot of people. As far as God is concerned, they are mighty in words. But as far as they are concerned, I can't talk. It's called worry and anxiety over the capacity or the gift of God in your life. Listen to this. It has killed a lot of people's destiny. Is anybody hearing me? It will shortchange your opportunities. It will make you miss a lot of chances in life, and you will never be able to fulfill destiny if you keep getting worried. And the worst people in this category are perfectionists. Come on, are you still there, somebody? There are people who for the last 15 years have been saying, I will. It's just that let us adjust this one first. Until we do this one, I will not be able to do it. And they've been on that. 15 years have passed. People who don't have their grace has done the same thing over and over, but they have still not been able to do it. Why? They are worried about the fact that they are not able to. Meanwhile, God said, you are mighty in words. I don't know where you are, crippled by fear, paralyzed by your feelings of inadequacy and insufficiency. I don't know where you are, but I want to see your hand up. I pray for you. Let that fear be broken. Let that doubt be broken. Let that anxiety be broken. I release over you the courage and the boldness to go out there and do what God is calling you to do. Shout amen, somebody. Shout amen, somebody. Shout another amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, are you aware that worry, I'll take you just this last one and I'll move on to the other part of the message. Are you aware that worry and anxiety, guess what? It can cause you to still be vulnerable. You can be vulnerable to worry and anxiety even after great victories. Even after great victories, you can still be tormented and bound by anxiety after great victory. Everybody look up here. Please look up here. Here was Elijah. The Bible didn't tell us his surname. The Bible just said Elijah the Tishbite. This guy had gone to Mount Carmel, and this guy called fire from heaven. Fire did not only consume the sacrifice, it slaughtered the prophets of Baal. It was the greatest revival recorded in the Old Testament. Immediately after that revival, ladies and gentlemen, news got to Jezebel that she has just lost a false prophet. And Jezebel said, Wallahi, let God punish me. If by this time tomorrow, I have not done the same thing to Elijah. You know the next thing Elijah said? Are you still with me? I'm no better than my fathers. He said, God, kill me. Now, when he said, I'm not better, are you aware that the man's father was so insignificant, they didn't tell us his surname? They said, Elijah the Tishbite. They would have been Elijah Okonkwo. But his father was so insignificant. Here was the greatest prophet of all time. But he himself said, in the moment of depression and anxiety and worry, I am not better than my fathers. Be careful every time you've been through a major spiritual victory. Next, just behind the door of that victory, you are becoming very vulnerable to anxiety and worry. Is anybody hearing me? Please answer me. Is anybody hearing me? That is why every time you've been through a major Christian program or a major personal retreat or fasting or a major prayer season, be careful, because immediately after it, there's a threat waiting for you. And most of the times, if you don't handle that threat very well, guess what? You'll begin to doubt ever if God can ever use you. Meanwhile, God has been using you before. You see, the devil is very quick to make you forget the greater battles you fought and overcame by putting before you smaller ones that make look like they are impossible for you to overcome them. So I pray for someone under the sound of my voice that in the midst of your spiritual victories, may you not be vulnerable to worry and anxiety in the name of Jesus Christ. And even when the temptation comes, the grace to overcome, receive it in the name of Jesus. I said, receive it in the name of Jesus. For the last time, receive it in the name of Jesus. Say louder, amen, somebody, if you don't mind. All right, for time's sake, let me leave the other ones and go on to talk to you about how 5 things you must know about worry and anxiety. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, most of the things we worry about never happen. Never happen. Everybody look up here. I have no time to read Genesis 27, 1 to 4. Now, Isaac, on the day that the wife was to put to bed Rebecca, got a prophecy. The elder will serve the younger. That's not a good prophecy for any Jewish man, because traditionally in Israel, the firstborn receives the double portion and is the head of the family. The firstborn is the one that rules over the family. So when that prophecy came, it didn't go well with him. So right from that time, he has been saying, he has been worried. He has had anxiety over the future of his family. I don't want my family to end up like this. My first son must be the one in charge. He kept saying that to himself. So one day the Bible said he just woke up suddenly and felt like, maybe I would die tomorrow. You know the next thing he did? He called his son Esau. Prepare venison for me. I want to eat it so that my soul will bless you. Rebecca had the conversation. She quickly got a younger son, Jacob. Prepared the meal. Served it. You know the rest of the story. Jacob got the blessing. True or false? Answer me, true or false? Don't forget, what was the basis upon which Isaac did that? Number one, he felt he was going to die any minute. He felt that death was imminent. Not knowing that Do you know from the time Jacob ran away after stealing that blessing, at least he spent another 22 years before he came back to his father's house. And he came back, the father was still alive. 22 years ago, he was afraid of dying. 22 years after, he was still bubbling. I want to prophesy over somebody. You are afraid of a death that does not exist. You touch your breast, there's a lump. You've read all kinds of things on the internet that say something, something, something. Right now, nobody knows, but as I'm talking to you, you've already seen, started saying coughing, coughing, coughing inside your dream. I don't know who you are, or somebody said something. A doctor made a comment. That comment has haunted you greater than the word of God. I came to prophesy over you that every fear of death in your life is canceled in the name of Jesus. It's canceled in the name of Jesus. Listen to this. The covenant you have with God is that with long life will I satisfy you. I prophesy over you, nothing will cut your life short. Nothing will take you out before time. Nothing will terminate your destiny. Nothing will take you out before your time has expired. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Say loud amen, somebody.
Amen.
I said, say a better amen, somebody.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next thing I want you to know is that worry can negatively affect your physical and your mental well-being. Worry is very dangerous, very dangerous. I have no time, but let me just mention it. Some of the physical side effects of worry: headache, fatigue, digestive issues, weakened immunity, heart problems, muscle tension, insomnia, inability to sleep, and weight challenges. Some people put on too much weight, some other people lose weight. Skin issues, respiratory problems. Some of the mental challenges are depression, cognitive decline. You can't function well at office. You can't focus during lectures because you are worried about where the next school fee will come from. Irritability, fear of the future, paranoia, social isolation, perfectionism, procrastination, panic attacks. And sometimes, do you know why a lot of celebrities, a lot of people who go on stage, you know why they take a lot of drugs? Why most of them are hooked on either cocaine or substance that makes them feel high? You know why they do that? Most of them are worried that they may not perform like the last time. Come on, does anybody hear me? Why are a lot of them into steroids and all kinds of things? For only one reason, because they want to make sure that there's something that gives them an extra push so that when they go up there, they can perform like the other time and get the same ovation. Is anybody hearing me? I pray for someone under the sound of my voice who is already suffering debilitating physical and mental attacks because of worry and anxiety. Let this morning be a defining moment for you in the name of Jesus. Let the God break the power of anxiety and worry over your life in the name of Jesus. Say a better amen now.
Amen.
Number three, thing I want you to know about worry is that worry is a waste of your time. Worry waste your time. Are you aware that worry will waste the same time you should have converted to problem solving, creativity, and providing solution? You waste it in worrying over the situation. Now, this is how Peter puts it. He said, be anxious for nothing. He said, but by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Now, listen to this. So you have two options. Number one, be anxious. Just stay up all night worrying. Troubled. What if? What if? Now, that's a choice. But instead of wasting that time worrying, Peter said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. He said, by prayer. So instead of worrying all night, can you get up from your bed and start speaking in tongues? Put on your YouTube on your phone or television and start playing all those worship songs, all those prayer chants. Start praying them. Start repeating them. Start chanting along. Start singing aloud. You will discover that you will come out 10 times more powerful. In fact, you will have so overcome that not only is the fear and the anxiety lifted, God is already creating solution in terms of the problem. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Stop wasting your energy. The worry the scripture we read at the beginning said it won't add one cubit. It will not increase your life. It will not increase your account. Okay, so let us face it. Tinubu is doing us. So if you decide to worry over it, will Tinubu now come up for the place? Will he now stop being the president of Nigeria? No, he will not. So instead of you tormenting yourself over the state of the nation, why not convert it into prayer, supplication? And let me tell you the most interesting part of it, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Father, I know that I'm not where I should be, but I thank you that there's a roof over my head. There's still some meat in my soup. There's still some food in my kitchen. There's still some this. I know that this is not where I want to be, but my situation is still better than someone else. Lord, I'm grateful. I'm thankful for where I am right now, and I celebrate you for it. Find a reason to still give thanks in the middle of what you are going through. Did anybody hear what I said? Number four, for time's sake. Number four. Ladies and gentlemen, worry can create self-fulfilling prophecies in your life. Be careful. Be careful. You know what the Bible says concerning Job? Now, it says, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. And what I was afraid of happened to me. What happened to Job? Job chapter 3. I know I don't have time, but I'll run through this. Job chapter 3. And in case you don't have a job, Job chapter 3. Are you still there? Now, I can't find Job in my Bible. Very interesting. Job, where are you? Eh? Which part of the Bible does Job used to be before? Is it New or Old Testament? Don't mind me, I'm just kidding. All right, so I know it's just before Psalms, right? Yeah? Okay, sorry. I'm using a translation that does not have, I'm using the TPT, it doesn't have Job. It has Job. All right, so I was wondering why I can't see the Job. Because I'm looking at the Bible, I'm seeing Psalm, but I'm not seeing Job. So TPT doesn't have Job, that's why. All right? Are you still there? My God, are you still there? You need a job? Job chapter 3. Are you there, somebody? Okay. Fantastic. Job chapter 3. Everybody look up here. Verse 23. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid? And whom God has etched in. Next verse. Everybody look at this. This is Job now. Please open. Next verse. For my sign cometh before I eat. My roaring is poured out like the waters. Next verse. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. What I was afraid of came unto me. Next verse. How did it come unto me? It's called self-fulfilling prophecy. I was not in safety. Neither had I rest. Neither was I what? So I kept talking about it. Oh boy, what if? What if? What if? What if I die now? What if this happens to me? What if I end up with a cancer? What if this other one happened? I was not quiet, yet trouble came to me. Now, Job began by saying, I was not in safety. Do you remember when the devil came to God? The devil said, you have made a hedge around him. You have protected everything he has. In the realm of the spirit, he had safety. He opened his mouth and said, I was not in safety. It's called self-fulfilling prophecy. So over time, as he kept saying, nobody is sure. Anything can happen. Even me, I can just die like that. Anybody can die through accident. Anybody can die. As he kept saying those things out of fear, that which I was afraid of happened to me. Worry and anxiety can activate the key for self-fulfilling prophecy. I want to pray over somebody. If there's any negative thing you have said as a result of the state of the economy or the state of the country or what you are going through, if there's anything you have said that is already haunting you in the realm of the spirit, by the blood, I cancel it. By the blood, I cancel it. By the blood, I cancel it. By the blood, I reverse it. Amen. Say better amen, somebody, if you don't mind. Amen. Finally, pastor, what is that final thing we need to know about worry and anxiety? Number one. Number five, worry, weeping only endures for a night. But long after the storm is over, the damage you have caused by worry and anxiety may not be over. How many of you know that every problem you're going through right now has an expiry date? Weeping does not endure forever. It endures for how long? I can't hear you. For how long? See, a day is coming, we will sit down and talk about Tinubu and laugh. Say amen. Amen. Is Buhari not in the past tense? No. Come on, talk. You thought Buhari was the worst. Am I right? Is he not in the past tense? You people should talk to me now. Yes. One day, and it's not going to be long from now, we will talk about Tinubu in the past tense. Yes. Say amen. Yes. We will talk about economy and laugh about economy. Say amen. Yes. Weeping only endures for a night. But this is the problem. He said, even though weeping is designed to endure for a night, it says, after the storm is over, if you are not careful with worry and anxiety, the damage you are causing yourself may not be over. Pastor, what do you mean? So, now you have high blood pressure because you have 3 children to look after. Now you have sugar diabetes because you have 3 children to take care of. Now you are having palpitation because you need to take care of these 3 children. Guess what? 10 years from now, all of them will graduate. 10 years from now, all of them will be making money. The storm will be over. But are you aware? High blood pressure may not be over. Sugar diabetes may not be over. Matter of fact, they will be changing your medication to a higher one. Now it's time for you to enjoy these children that are killing you right now. Please talk to me, somebody. Now it's time to enjoy the children for which you got high blood pressure. The time to enjoy them, they're increasing the dosage of your medication. Because even though the storm is over, the damage you have caused is not over. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I pray for you. At the time of enjoyment, your health will cooperate with you. Yeah. Any damage in your life right now caused by worry and anxiety, I command it, go in the name of Jesus. I command you be healed in the name of Jesus. Whatever the enemy is doing, it's like he's setting you up for the future when you should be enjoying, so that you start paying the price at that time. I declare that that agenda of Satan over your health, over your life, it stops this morning in the name of Jesus. I said it stops this morning in the name of Jesus. I cast that sickness out of your body, and I declare that when it's time for you to enjoy the fruit of your labor, you'll be strong, well, healthy, and strong to enjoy it in the name of Jesus. Let me hear a better amen. Amen. Any damage orchestrated in your life by worry and anxiety, by the power of God, let that damage get out of your body in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus. Amen. Finally, Pastor, how do I manage this matter of worry and anxiety? How do we deal with it? How do we take care of it? I will come to number one last, but let me take the second one. How do I deal with worry and anxiety? Go to number two. Go to number two. I'll take number one last. Number two, you need to walk diligently, deploying every skill and every gift. Deploying every skill and every gift. Pastor, what exactly do you mean? I'm working very hard. I agree. But you know, everybody look up here. Please talk to me. Are you still with me? Please talk to me. Are you still with me? You know, desperate times call for desperate what? Have you ever seen? You know, there are some things you think you can't do until the situation changes and you will do it. You know what I'm talking about? Answer me now. You know what I'm talking about? I've shared this story many years ago of a gentleman that was coming from a nightclub. Sadly, they have to pass through a cemetery to his house. You remember? As he was passing through the cemetery, this was a Friday night. He don't drink. He don't shy you completely. He didn't know that the next morning, Saturday, is a burial taking place in that cemetery. They've dug one big grave. And it was a grave for 2 people, husband and wife, they were burying. And it was very deep. So as he was just passing the cemetery with alcohol all over his face, he fell into the grave. He struggled and struggled. The more he was struggling, the more sand was coming on him. So he realized that he's not going to make it. He advised himself. He said, you know what? Instead of struggling and now I'll bury myself before tomorrow morning, let me just calm down. Tomorrow morning, when they come to bury the corpse, they will see me, they will rescue me. Does it make sense?
Yes.
So while he was struggling and struggling, he now calmed down. What he didn't know was that before him, another guy who came from the same church he was coming from, who was more drunk than him, has already fallen in the same grave before. The whole place was dark. The guy was just here. These two have struggled and struggled. He has given up. He was just chilling out in the corner, and he was also drunk, so he too slept off. So by the time sand was pouring, he now opened his hand and discovered that another guy he recognized inside the same nightclub was struggling to. He just calmed down, was watching the guy. You know that the guy will calm down after some time, the way he too has calmed down. And after some time, when he realized that the guy was getting tired, he just cleared his voice and said, you can get out of here. You guessed it. One sprint, pia, that guy came out of the grave. He did not look back until he got home that night. Are you with me, somebody? Please answer me. Are you with me, somebody? There's a situation that will happen. You will do what you think you cannot do. Say amen, somebody. Listen to this. The situation where this country is right now demands you doing some things you never knew you could do before. Be everything. Be a content creator. Be a this, be a that. Every gift you have, just deploy. Just be deploying all your gifts. Is anybody hearing me? Try it. If it works, praise God. If it doesn't work, no problem. Try another one again. This is not a time of having one job. All your anointing must be on full throttle. Talk to me, somebody. That's how to survive Tinubu. Oh, Jesus. I prophesy over you. Every gift of God in you, begin to speak. Anointing, begin to speak. Skill, begin to speak. Anything that God has given you as a product, let it come out of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. I don't care. You can be in 10 different businesses at the same time. I prophesy over you. As long as God has given it to you, let it come out in the name of Jesus. Let it come out in the name of Jesus. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings. Listen to this. It's not really about the scarcity in the economy. It's about the state of your supply. If your supply moves now from 100,000 to 5 million, there will be no scarcity on your side. I prophesy over you, let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let your supply increase. Let your supply increase. Shout amen, somebody. Number three, how do I manage worry and anxiety? Rest in God. I gave you that scripture before, Philippians 4:7. Be not anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, and the most powerful one, and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. This is the time to pray. I've spoken about that before. Let me leave it. This is time to engage in intercession. There are nights where worry comes knocking on your door. Anxiety says you cannot sleep. I've told you the key. Put on your YouTube, on your phone. Begin to play those chants. Begin to play those prayers. Begin to play a message. Begin to listen to the word of God. Begin to listen to the promises of God. Sometimes let your Bible just read out to you. God's promises for financial provision. Just be reading out to you. And as you turn worry into prayer, into intercession, and then you now end up by saying, Lord, I'm grateful. I know that this is not the kind of house I want to live, but I have a roof over my head. Somebody is on the street in Obete. Lord, I thank you because this is not the kind of school actually I would have wanted children to attend, but I thank you, my children are in school. Just go ahead and find a reason to thank him. Thanksgiving is a powerful tool to defeat worry and anxiety. And may God give it to you in the name of Jesus. May God give it to you in the name of Jesus. Number four, manage your resources wisely. This is not the time, ladies and gentlemen, where you want to embark on useless and unnecessary things that will waste money. Calm down. With the way things are going, you have to plan your life better. Plan your journey better. This is not the time where you just want to jump and just go be visiting everybody. No. This is the time you want to find out, this place I want to go to, is it necessary for me to spend this 2K? Can't I just make a phone call and settle this thing? Is anybody hearing me? Can't a phone call, do I have to go and see Okechukwu? Can't we just talk on the phone or do a telegram or do a chat? Something. Sit down and please be scrupulous. Manage your resources wisely. There are things you can do on the phone. There are others that don't require you going to see somebody. And can I also announce, ladies, are you in the house? Yes. Ladies, are you still in the house? Yes. This is not the time to attend every wedding. Yes. Are the men in the house? Yes. This is not the time to go for every barrier. Some of them just carry 20K put in the account. Say, choose one, 20K, my presents. 99% of people say, oh boy, arrange the 20K. Forget presents. We will Photoshop you inside the photograph. You know what I'm talking about? This is the wedding photograph. We Photoshop you inside the middle. You know what I'm talking about, somebody? You don't need to be in the wedding. Travel all the way to Kaduna for what? For what? All the way to Abuja to just to show your face? No. Send the 20K, Photoshop yourself inside the photograph. They just put you there to look like you attended the wedding, but you were not there. But guess what? It saved your money, saved your time, and also saved you from the danger of traveling. Are you still there? Please talk to me. Are you still there? Hallelujah. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, number five, I said, put first the kingdom of God. Every time, listen to this. Every time things become tough and difficult, please, no, as a believer, never forget this. The greatest key to navigating difficult times and staying in the place of rest and anxiety free is putting God first. That was why when that widow was at a time where everybody was dying, She was about to take the last meal and cook for herself. Elijah shows up and says, "Madam, give me water." She was on her way. He said, "No, arrange food for me." The woman looked at her and said, "I don't know if the person who pointed my house to you did not properly introduce me to you. They didn't tell you, number one, I'm a widow. Number two, they didn't tell you that I have an only son, no husband. Number three, they didn't tell you that it's our last meal we're about to cook. And you are saying I should do food for you. When you say water, I look at your collar as a man of God. I say, let me respect you. Now you are adding food to the equation. Man of God, let me know. I don't like to insult men of God. I don't know the audacity with which Elijah opened his mouth and said, do for me first. Me as a pastor, I can't say that. Because what social media will do to you if you try that kind of thing? Say, see, this is exactly what we are talking about, pastors. You know what I'm talking about. But it's not interesting, social media will chew you. You won't have where to hide your head. Elijah said to her, do for me first. You know the rest of the story. She had food throughout the famine and continued into the next season of abundance. Listen to this. Never be wiser than God. The time of scarcity is the time to sow. There's no better time to sow. That's why in Genesis 26, where there was famine in the land, the Bible recorded and Isaac sowed in that land, receiving the same year 100-fold. He was great, went forward, and became extremely wealthy. The best time to sow is now. But let me finish with my first point as my last point. And this is it. Pastor, how do we navigate through worry and anxiety? And I beg you to get this point. If you miss every other point, trust in God's promises. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, AMPC. Amplified Classic, and I close with this. Trust in God's promise. Trust in God's promise. Please give me quickly. My time is up, I beg you. Can you give me AMPC? You don't get the scripture? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Are you stuck? Everybody, I want you to stand up. Okay, no, don't stand up. I'll read this and I'll ask you to stand up after now. Now read with me, 1, 2, go. In the place of you, put me, okay? So 2, go. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to me in abundance, so that I may always, and under Tinubu or Buhari, and whatever they need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid, no support, and furnish in abundance for every good work, and enough to send to my village. Can I hear amen? Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen? This is God's promise. Sir, the man who created an entire universe without block and cement, the man who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the birds on the mountain, the one that said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, if he can take care of the sparrow who has no steady job, who has no bank account, who has no saving culture, who has no destiny helper, trust me, he can take care of you. Come on, can I hear a loud amen?
Amen?
Trusting in God's promise is more than words. It takes trying times like this to know whether you, in your heart of hearts, you believe God is lying to you or God is actually telling you the truth. It is times like this we know the difference between the boys and the men. I close on this note. It's a story you all know, but for the purpose of making this clear, let me remind you. You all know my story. Several years ago, about 5 years ago, I took my entire family according to God's instruction. It was a clear, we took 1 year to pray, fast, to hear God over and over. And we knew it was God's will. And I took my family and we landed in the United States, having made some plans on how I was going to look after my family. And it was a secured plan, investment in real estate, money was coming in for pounds, sterling, was being arranged for us, and everything was fine and good. Then we landed in America. And called the gentleman who was holding the money to say, look, just wire some so that we can take care of accommodation. And we found out that entire investment made was gone. Family of 8. I didn't have $500 in my pocket. And here was I, the entire plan to sustain the whole family, gone down the drain. Ladies and gentlemen, I felt sick. When they dawned on me that I had actually lost that investment, I felt sick and vomit. I was vomiting blood. I say it before God on this altar. I was vomiting blood. And I didn't have money to go to the hospital. My wife was crying and said, I don't want my husband to die because of this situation. And after all that, I gathered the whole family together. And I said to them, I said to my wife, I said, There's a particular stage in life where you don't have. They will say, help him, a small boy. But there's another stage where you can't beg. Because if you beg, they'll say, no, mine am, he gets. In the deceivers. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
So I spoke with my wife. I said, baby, let's tell ourselves the honest truth. This journey is aborted. We return back home. She said, no problem. We called family meeting together. We said, ladies and gentlemen, members of the board of Edwin Bayebo and Associates. We actually thought this mission was of God, but now we are rethinking the mission. So we have to return back home. Patience, Jonathan said, now let me waka. My first daughter went into instant depression. She lost about 20 kg in 1 month. She was the top in her class in Nigeria before we took her abroad. She had lost 1 year. Now I'm sending her back to the same place to become junior to the people she was teaching in class. Is Duru still there? Duru has gone. Duru was the one that followed me to look for school for my children in Enugu, for those who are in secondary school. Renovated my house, getting ready for my family to come back. I said to them, I said, what's the worst case scenario? We come back, 2 weeks, they laugh at us. After 2 weeks, there'll be another breaking news. They will not remember us again. Come on, talk to me. Are you still there? Say, this man began to build, was not able to do what? To finish. After 2 weeks, something will happen again. Either very black man or very yellow man. Something will happen. But shall the thing will happen and we take everybody's attention from you. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, are you still in church, somebody? So, God, everybody was ready to move. And I called my agent. I said, book a flight. My family is coming back home. And she said, there's something called COVID that just happened. That all the airports has been locked down. I said, no. No. My family is coming back to Nigeria. I said, get me a flight. I was shouting at a married woman like a little child. I felt sorry for that woman. And we call her 12 minutes. Madam, there's an emergency flight in Chicago. Get my family back to Nigeria. And after raking and raking and raking, when it was clear that no flight was bringing my family back, I went to God. I said, God, why are you messing up me up like this? Did I do anything? Is there any sin I committed that you could not quietly punish me? You have to punish the whole family along with me. You know, the only thing God said to me, now that all your plans have failed, can you trust in my plan? And with tears in my eyes, I said, Lord, I have no choice. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 5 years after. My first daughter that went into depression finished with distinction. Got a scholarship for a master's in one of the most expensive universities in America. Full scholarship. Two other girls are in the university. One reading IT, one reading nursing. Guess what? I'm looking back 5 years later and I can't explain. There's only one explanation we can give, trusting in God's promises. Now that your plans have failed, can you depend on my plan? Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. When the oceans rise and thunders roll, I was so with you
above the storms. Father, you are King over the flood.
I will still.
I will be still and know you.
Get to that part of the song that says, I will be still. Please do me a favor. Just talk to your heart. Just do like this in your chest. I'll be still. Especially if you know that this message was for you. Especially if you know this message was for you. I'll be still and know that you are God.
When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar.
Father, you are King.
Oh.
I come against that depression in your spirit. I come against that fear in your heart. Listen to me, madam, you will not die. I know the doctors have said some terrible things and you are so scared, but I stand as God's prophet. Madam, I declare you will not die. Young man, that prostrate will not kill you. The power of God is coming upon you. Prostrate, die in the name of Jesus. That lump is not cancer, madam, in your breast. No, it's not. And even if the diagnosis says it is, I stand under God's name. I stand under God's word. And I command you, lump, disappear in the name of Jesus. Lump, disappear in the name of Jesus. Lump, disappear in the name of Jesus. Listen to this. I pray against your fear of tomorrow, your fear of the future. That thing that says to you, there's no hope for tomorrow. I came to announce to you, if you can take care of the birds in the field, if you can clothe the lilies in the field, my God will take care of you. I command your anxiety to disappear. I command your worry to disappear. I command your fears to disappear. On your chest. In the next 30 seconds, I want you to speak in tongues if you can. Let your fears go. Let your fears go. Let the worry disappear. Let the anxiety die. Let palpitations cease. Listen to me. Even these two will come to pass.
Amen.
I repeat, even these two will come to pass.
Amen.
One of the worst things worry does is it steals your joy. And the joy of the Lord is your what? It's your strength. So every time worry snatches your joy, you have lost your strength. And if thou faintest in the day of adversity, it means your strength, your joy is small. Happiness depends on what is happening. I got a new car. I got a new job. I got promotion. Joy does not depend on what is happening. Joy comes from within. I speak over your heart as you lay hands on your chest. Let the joy of God swallow your anxiety. Let the joy of God swallow your fear. Let the joy of God swallow your worries. Let the joy of God take over every sleepless night in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to beg you, be intentional in distracting yourself this season. Some social media information will not help you. Spend more time on the good news of His word. Listen to good messages. Listen to good word. Listen to your Bible. Get good messages. Distract yourself with something that will make you laugh. There's any time to find something to make you laugh is this time. This storm will soon be over. Let the damage be over with the storm.
Amen.
Don't let the damage continue after the storm is over. So you'll be alive to enjoy the fruits of your labor. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Give God praise if you receive that word this morning. Whilst we remain standing, please, upstairs people, respect God this morning. Please, I beg you, we are almost done. We just have a few things. Let's respect the presence of God. Just before we sit down, if you are here and your connection with God is gone, you used to be born again, now you know that it's not like that. Or you've never given your life to Jesus, you know that everything I'm talking about is wonderful, but you're not part of this family. You want to join the family of God, spiritual. You want to be born again. Can you put your hand on your chest? I have a 1 minute prayer and it can change your life if you can believe God. Just put, and I'm not talking to everybody now, I'm talking to those who need to rededicate their lives or give their life to Christ. Put your hand on your chest. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry about the life I've lived. This morning, I return back asking for mercy and forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart and change my life. I return back to you with everything that I am. And from this day forward, I declare I will walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. I pray for you. For everyone who has prayed this prayer, my Father, let the miracle of restoration or the miracle of the new birth now be made manifest to them in the name of Jesus. Let their lives never be the same again. Let the power of God now visit them. And let the grace for newness of life enter into their spirits. I thank you. Because I know you've answered us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. For the last time, let's celebrate our King and our Father. And you may be seated. You may be seated.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.